Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Stress Brothers Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Perez. Joining me today, the usual suspect, Lee White. Lee White, how you doing, my friend?
I'm great, man. I'm a little upset. A little bit. Not much. I'm okay, though.
Just how about a little you? Bit. All right, well, we'll get on to that. First off, today we'll be discussing... Lee White has a little bit of a rant, just a little bit. We're going to talk about Bo Porter. The trade deadline obviously happened last week. Jared Cozart, Brett Oberholzer, and Robbie Grossman all coming up from the farm system. And we'll talk about the we're starting to see everything come through from the Hunter Pence trade that was made a few years ago. So all that and more right after this.
There it is! The Astros have won the Central Division title. It's gone! It's gone! It's gone! Line drive right center field. That's number 3,000.
And welcome back. All right, Lee, let's get right into it. Let's talk about your little rant that you've got coming up. Tell us how you feel.
Okay, well, first off, in my lifetime, I've never been taught to accept losing as being a good thing. Right, I know the Astros are probably going to get the number one pick. I had a feeling that was going to be the case coming into the season. I thought top five for sure, you know. But in getting Carlos Rodon, that's going to be something nasty if the Astros do decide to go that route. But I will never be happy to see the Astros lose. It's like saying, oh, yeah, we lost. We're closer to Rodon. Are you going to cheer when they win, or are you going to be, oh, no, we won a game. Oh, my God. No, you're going to be excited if they win. You're going to be hurt when they lose. And also, losing like they did today is just outrageously sickening. Oh, that hurt today.
You know, it really did to have that, really the blown, I guess you could say the blown lead come off a Stephen Drew three-run shot like that. It's really defeating and it's deflating, to be honest, with Josh Fields, you know, just really losing it on that one. There's really is nothing to say. Then, you know, this is one of those losses where it really hurts to be an Astros fan. Mm-hmm. And it really, I guess you could say Astros fans are, taking their lumps or earning their stripes, as it were, for the upcoming success, if that ever does come, which sure, we're sure of it. It will. But it really is just one of those hard things to handle, and not a lot of people can handle it. And some people are, I guess, just so cynical of the Houston sports, not franchise, but mentality of being accepting of a loser. Mm-hmm. And it's a mentality that needs to change within the Houston organization, not in the organization, but fans as a whole. And really, I think the Texans are a big part of that, that they're starting to win. And hopefully the city of Houston can realize, hey, you know, these guys are winners. And if, barring Houstonitis coming through a la the Houston Texans the last 2 years in the playoffs, maybe the Astros can do something good in the coming years. But that's a story for another time. For the time being, discussing the important matter is not accepting the losing. I understand, you know, losing means, you know, you get a better draft pick, this, that, and the other. But Jeff Luhnow, he's not just the guy who can get the top prospect at the highest level or at the highest pick. We've seen where people get drafted in the, you know, 20th round of, you know, whatever, and they're like the 200th, 300th pick, and they make the major leagues and have an outstanding career. So you really can't base all of that. You really can't base success on a draft pick if, you know, just because it's a high draft pick. And I think that we should just be happy with what we get and enjoy the wins and, you know, not woeful, but how could you say, what's the word I'm looking for, Lee?
I have no idea.
you just got to roll with the punches in layman's terms is what I'm trying to say. So really the Astros, it's just hard to do it right now. But you've got to do it. If you want to win, go watch the Rangers. Go jump on that bandwagon. But in a couple of years, when the Rangers are terrible, well, they will be again, and the Astros are doing good, you know, come see us and we'll welcome you back on. So that's more than fine with me.
here's my thing with losing. I'm never gonna be happy about losing a game, but I know that losing is probably going to involve us getting Carlos Rodon at some point. But and I'm not gonna cheer a loss. I never will. You know, I'm not ever going to cheer a loss. That's just not in my nature. But one thing, you know, you're talking about Jeff Luhnow knowing how to scout and getting people where – well, I got somebody who was drafted in the 31st round of the 2012 draft by Jeff Luhnow. His name is MP Kokonos. You've probably heard of him because of the hashtag Free Kokonos. But the dude just flat out rakes, and you can say, oh, it's because he's in Lancaster, but that's not the case. He raked in Tri-Cities last year too. He's hitting .314 with a .410 on-base percentage, a .511 slugging. Got 12 home runs, 80 RBIs. He has 44 walks to only 28 strikeouts. He makes contact. He doesn't strike out. He walks. He only has 12 home runs in Lancaster. Not exactly, you know, not exactly a powerful hitter. As we know, the ball flies out of Lancaster like crazy, but he drives in runs. He hits doubles. He's something to watch. He's a pretty good guy. But the thing with losing in the upcoming draft, I'm not gonna cheer a loss. That's just not me, you know. And I'm not gonna change my stance on that. And I'm not really even gonna worry about the draft until this season's over.
Exactly, that's a great way to look at it. Another thing that I wanted to bring up is Carlos Rodon might not even be in the draft. He might stay at North Carolina for his junior or senior year coming up. I'm not sure which one it is, but he may stay for that year, you know. So it's not always a guarantee that he's going to be there. And cheering for a loss only makes you look bad. It makes you look bad, but it looks bad upon, you know, the whole team and the fan base as a whole. Because, you know, oh, you know, look, it's Houston, the, you know, the guys who like losing. And you don't want to wind up like Chicago, the Cubs, you know, the lovable losers. I think that's something not to be, you know, that shouldn't be embraced. I don't know why they embrace that. Or the Pittsburgh Pirates.
20 years of straight losing.
That might change this year, but you never know. But then again.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely changing this year. They're going to have at least a 500 record, you know. And they're probably going to make the playoffs, hopefully win that division. I'm rooting for them because I want to see them win. They deserve it. But you don't want to see Houston go into a big 20-year-long losing.
Right. That's something you don't want to see. And I think we have the proper people at the, I guess you could say at the helm to prevent something like that from happening. But regardless of that I think we shouldn't place that label upon ourselves to be accepting of losers. I think that's not what being a fan is all about. It's not what being a baseball fan is all about, you know. There's no crying in baseball, and there's no cheering for losing in baseball either. I can understand how it's becoming a whole mantra, or not a mantra, but a whole, I guess you could say a motto and a fad, you know, the suck for luck and all of that stuff like there was in football, but I don't think that should apply to baseball.
Yeah, and, well, you know, I don't want to see the Astros lose. That's just me, right? You know? But they're not a good team. They're probably going to lose, and they're going to lose a lot, which they are. It's just the way they lose these games. They're in them until the very end, most of the time. And then something just out of nowhere, bullpen explodes. They get lit up in like the 8th, 9th, 7th inning even. They're in it. They're in it, but they can never pull it out. And that's just what's so frustrating about it. And then people right after the game, woohoo, Rodon. No.
Yeah, exactly. And further on to that, it's really unbecoming of, you know, everything a part of this to be accepting of that. And I think that it's important that part of last year when we started to see towards the end that the games that they were losing were kind of like this. This has been really the whole Astros season of this year. Because last year they were just getting beat and getting beat and getting beat until the end of maybe like August, September. They were in games for a while, and then they just ultimately faltered. And this year it's almost a guarantee. The bullpen is atrocious, and anytime a starting pitcher cannot go to the distance, it's almost a guaranteed loss for the Houston Astros. Almost guaranteed, to be honest. And Josh Fields, blowing a save and taking the loss there in that game. It's a real shame for the guy, the starting pitchers that worked so hard to get there. And it's really hard against on everybody in that clubhouse because they had the lead right there in the ninth inning. They had it in their grasps, and a 3-run home run just to, you know, buries them.
Oh yeah, and you know, the crazy thing is though, is this bullpen, I guarantee you, it wasn't built to fail, but it looks like it was built to fail. You know what I mean? They went out and they got Jose Veras. Jose Veras, you know, he was great. They needed to trade him though because they flipped him into a 19-year-old prospect who is going to probably be something pretty nice, you know. But I'm not saying they should have kept him. But what they should have done is built this bullpen a little better. You know what I mean? They got Travis Blackley, who is, he had a good year with Oakland in 2012. But after that, boom, downhill, right? That's really, and Josh Fields, who is a Rule 5 claim. And he has to be up here if the Astros want to keep him. But just, it's not a good bullpen. It wasn't from the beginning. You know, it's just, it's rough to watch, though. I'm not going to lie. It's really rough to watch.
It is, and I think it starts at the top. And I think, moving on a little bit to segue, I think Bo Porter is showing a great, you know, great fight, you know, and getting ejected today, his first ever ejection. And I believe it was his first ejection ever, as you said, off the air. And it shows that he's going to go out there and fight. And he's been like that this entire year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really put up a big fight. And he's not going to let these guys accept the label of being a loser. And I'm really enjoying this. I'm liking what I see out of Bo Porter. And I think there's a future with this man. There's a future, a great future, a bright future with this man. And I think that's something to look forward to.
I'll be honest with you for a second. I don't exactly like the way Bo Porter has handled his bullpen, but he really doesn't have much to work with now that they've called up Chaya Jin Lo, Josh Side, and even Jorge De Leon, who didn't make his appearance yet. He may start to have something to work with, you know what I mean? Just depending on if Jorge De Leon can be a pitcher instead of a thrower, because he throws really hard, really, really hard. But you know, it's just the way he used his bullpen in the past. I'm starting to like the way he's using it now, bringing in Chaya Jin Lo in the seventh and keeping him through the eighth. That was nice. Josh Zide got the last out of the sixth and got the entire sixth inning, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, got the entire sixth inning. That was nice. You know what I mean? Those are nice ways to handle the bullpen. He's making progress just as he should. You know, this is his first year being a manager. He's going to have mistakes. He's going to do things the wrong way. But this year is all about process and progress as well.
Yeah, like the tagline, I guess you could say, on the back of their shirts, it's a process. That's all. That's really what it all is. And to go on further about what you were saying, he really has, you know, he's using what he's got, and you know, he's, as you said, he's going to make mistakes because it's his first year as a manager, his first ever tenure as a manager, and it's the kind of guy to make a mistake. It's not going to be, I'm trying to think of somebody who was a rookie coach in any sport to, you know, to make a championship run or a deep postseason run, but regardless, you know, these guys weren't, he wasn't going to make them to be world beaters or any sort of winners at all in any way, shape, or form. So I think that having Bo Porter there to really make the mistakes now is a good basis for him to learn and not make mistakes later. And for what it's worth, I think Bo Porter, you know, he's, now that he's getting more options and actually using them, as you said, utilizing them properly, it's really good, as you saw with Chai Jin Lo and everybody else. One other guy that I would like to see would be called up is Ross Seton, who is he's got an amazing arm. And what I saw, he was really good with Corpus Christi. Not too sure how he's doing with Oklahoma City, but one of the best ever to bless Corpus Christi.
He was in Oklahoma City and then he got sent back down to AA earlier this year, but he's not doing so hot this year.
Yeah, he's having an off year, so there. I mean, what else is there? I mean, that's just baseball. And to wrap it up, I think we're going to finish up this first half here. Leave. Coming up on the second half, we've got Jared Kozar, Brett Oberholzer, and talking about Robbie Grossman, all that right after this. Turn it all around. Lift me up above this. The flames and the ashes. Lift me up and help me to fly away. Lift me up above this. The broken, the empty. Lift me up and help me to fly away. To fly away. For the second half of the Stroh's Bros podcast, Lee White, I want to bring up a name that that might ring a bell. He goes by the name of Hunter Pence. Mm-hmm. Do you happen to recall that guy?
Yeah, I think I know who he is.
Do you remember what we got for that guy?
Well, according to John Heyman, when we made the trade a couple of years ago, it wasn't much. We oversold on Hunter Pence, and we didn't get much to show for it, according to John Heyman. But didn't we get Jared Kozar and John Singleton and Josh Zide and Domingo Santana?
You know, I believe we did. I really think we did.
Aren't all those guys doing something pretty nice right now?
You know, isn't that Kozar guy having one of the best starts in Major League Baseball right now for a rookie, for at least a pitcher? You know, maybe we're onto something here. I think Kozar guy might be doing something good. But who knows? I mean, we obviously oversold. We didn't get anything out of it. It's not like this Kozar guy's, you know, had a dominant first debut as a start. It's not like he's doing good with the Astros at the Major League level. You know, it's not like he's having anything like that.
Yeah, and it's not like over the last 10 games, John Singleton's 10 for 36 with two doubles, a triple, two home runs, eight RBIs, you know? It's not like Domingo Santana found it again and it's just raking. It's not like Josh Zide, you know, was on hook for his first major league win today until the bullpen blew it.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? The Astros are, you know, terrible. They got nothing out of the Hunter Pence deal. Ruben Amaro Jr. should be patting himself on the back for a great deal. I mean, just seriously, round of applause for Mr. Amaro. Let's hear it for Mr. Amaro. I mean, this guy, he really duped Ed Wade. I mean, if you just look at it, he got Hunter Pence for really an outstanding, you know, the Phillies getting off that second World Series with Hunter Pence, that's outstanding. That is really great. Ruben Amaro, round of applause for you, man, because you obviously traded those nobody prospects, and you really swindled those Houston Astros. Boy, those silly Astros. Silly, silly, silly Astros.
No, but in all reality, that trade was just dominated by the Astros.
Absolutely. Ruben Amaro Jr., you are an idiot.
I will applaud Amaro. Amaro. I will applaud him because he made the Astros rebuild process a little easier.
Yeah, and, you know, as you said, was it John Heyman that said we didn't get much?
Yeah.
Another guy who's doing good, Brett Oberholzer, I don't want to skip this guy. I remember, I'm not too sure who it was. I know it was some, you know, douchebag, you know, scout or whatever you could say. I was having a conversation maybe about 2 years ago about Brett Oberholzer, seeing him in Corpus. And the guy said, I can guarantee you that Brett Oberholzer will stall out in AAA. He's not major league kind of guy. He won't have any success if he ever makes it to the major league level. And, you know, how is Brett Oberholzer doing at the major league level? You want to fill me in on that, Lee?
Well, you know, he got called up a few times earlier in the year, and they had him in the bullpen where he made, what, two appearances and gave up, what, two or so earned runs there in each appearance. But since they moved him to the starter's role, he's made two starts. He's only 2-0 with a 2.53 technically with a 0.0 ERA since being named a starter, 2.53 on the year.
Man, that guy is terrible. No major league value whatsoever. I mean, really, that guy is terrible.
I'll be honest, though. he came out of nowhere, if you ask me. You know what I mean? I was not expecting him. Of course, it's only been two starts, you know. But I still was not expecting this from Brett Oberholzer.
You know, I'll be honest.
I didn't like the Bourne trade when it went down. I still don't like the Bourne trade. But if Brett Oberholzer becomes a reliable starter like he's looking as, then Astros might have gotten a little something out of that trade, which when they first made it, I didn't think they got anything.
Oh, yeah, dude. If Brett Oberholzer has any sort of production that's any sort of worth, I think that certainly makes up for having to deal with that douchebag Slim Shady. What was his name? Marshall Mathers wannabe. God, I even forgot his name. He's become so irrelevant, I doubt he even plays with the Upton brothers in Atlanta. What was his name?
Oh, Jordan Schaefer.
Yeah, Jordan Schaefer, man. I hated that guy. I could not stand him.
What he's doing this year is just completely making me angry at him even more. He showed some effort with the Astros. I'll be honest. He showed that he wanted to win, but he just – I don't know. It got to a point later on with the Astros where it looked like he didn't care. He was – number one, he was awful with the Astros. Let's be honest. He was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, he had a bad attitude. I don't even know what to say about the guy. And then he goes to Atlanta, and now he's hitting 300. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, he got real apathetic towards the end, and it's really a lack of character there for that guy. Just being in Houston, that stint in Houston, and then going back to Atlanta. He's kind of like one of those annoying kids that you have as a friend that does bad stuff, and then he doesn't get in trouble for it whatsoever. And, like, you're just sitting there, and he's just mocking you. He's got that face. And you know he's done bad stuff, and you know it, and you know it, and you see it. You see it right in that smug. There's nothing you can do about it. It really just drives me. It drives me up the wall about this guy. But if Brett Oberholzer can have any sort of good positive, bring any sort of positivity toward the Astros, I think it certainly makes up for that. And it's not like Atlanta has Bourne anymore.
True, but, you know, that's because he became a free agent.
Yeah.
The thing, though, is what they did with Pence. They got a huge package, great package. You know, it was a plethora of prospects. They could have gotten the same thing with Michael Bourne. Wade even had other teams calling him about Michael Bourne, but he turned them down because he was in discussions with the Braves and settled for less than what he could have actually gotten.
Yeah, I would like to see that deal obviously redone. Mm-hmm. But for the time being, as where it stands, I think Brett Oberholzer is the best thing to come out of it. And it really is. I think the Brett Oberholzer might have been – it's not Ed Wade's finest work, but I think it's to show that he got a diamond in the rough, and it really kind of just saved him a little bit.
Maybe, but, you know, we got to give Oberholzer more starts, obviously. But his first two, looking pretty fantastic. And another thing, though, you know, Paul Clemens, he was sent down because he was getting roughed up. If he can become anything, he's got a hard fastball, 95. He's got a nasty curveball when he can control it. If he can be anything, he could be a really good late-inning reliever. So I'm not trying to, you know, make up for the Bourne trade. It was still a bad trade. But if those two can become anything, it'll look a little bit better.
Yeah, I'd say so. And Juan Abreu hasn't really done much. I really can't think of anything. I'm not sure what he's doing.
I'm not even sure if he's even in the organization anymore.
I don't think he is, because I remember Juan Abreu coming over, and I'm not too sure what.
He's nothing. In Albuquerque.
Oh, okay, so he's in AAA.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty then. So there he goes. There he's not a part of the system anymore. But furthermore, I think that Paul Clemens can be good. So it really, and it's in hindsight is always 20/20. At the time, Michael Bourne did get, you know, the Atlanta Braves did get a better end, got the better end of the deal, but, you know, they weren't able to do anything with him.
Yeah.
So I think that's another important part. And I'm really high on this, because I think it's so exciting that the future is really bright, and seeing that Oberholzer and Kuzart are doing really good. And even though it's a really small sample size, I think that it's only the beginning of things great to come. Great things
Well,
yet to come.
the thing with Overholtzer is he's got a nice little changeup. He's spotting his pitches really, really well. He's spotting them really well because he's not overpowering lefty throws. 90s, you know, like low 90s, like 90 mile an hour. 92 maybe topping out. He spots it really well. He knows where to place the ball, and he's doing that really effectively. That's why he's, you know, pitching like he is. He's doing really well.
Right. And I'm excited about not just him, but Robbie Grossman coming up and doing good at the major league level. He got sent down and then he got brought back up and just not raking, but he's doing really good, better than he did last time.
Oh, no, he's definitely raking to the tune of about 500 average since his recall. And two home runs, I think.
Not
both from the left side of the plate. I know of two that I know of. I'm pretty sure it's just two, but both from the left side of the plate. He is just stroking the ball, killing it.
And he was the Wandy Rodriguez trade, I believe. Came over with Rudy Owens and some other guy.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, at the time, that also, and it's still, that they could have gotten a better deal for Wandy last year, but Robbie Grossman, if he can keep doing what he's doing, he was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was hitting 197 when he got sent down. He's hitting roughly 260 now. That's just how much better he's doing. And honestly, I know you're not going to like this because you don't really like the guy. Brett Wallace has done really good since his recall.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm going to give props where props are due, and Brett Wallace deserves props, like props to the nth power. So
yeah, I mean, he got recalled, what, June 25th? I think,
somewhere towards the end of June.
He's hit 9 home runs, got 24 RBIs, and he's hitting roughly 260, had 2 more hits today, an 8-game hitting streak. I know 260 isn't that great, but if he can hit 280, which I don't think he can, if he can hit, you know, anywhere from 260 to 280 consistently, that's a nice little stopgap until dun dun dun, John Singleton is ready, who, by the way, is starting to rake in AAA again.
Yeah, he hit that wall a while back, and it really was expected because he was raking for the longest time, and now he's, you know, he's back. He hit that wall, and now he's back doing it again. So really, there's no problem whatsoever.
And the thing with John Singleton, he's 22 years old. He could repeat AAA 2 more years and still be young in AAA at 24 years old.
Yeah, there. I mean, so he's ahead of the game, to be honest.
And same with Domingo Santana. He's what, about 260 in double A.
I can look that up, but I know Domingo is raking. He hit a slump for a little while, and but his defensive play makes up for it. Really.
Oh yeah, he is an absolute athlete. But yeah, he's hitting 245. You know, he strikes out a lot, but he is 20 years old, 21 years old in double A, and that's still pretty young for double A. He's another one who's, you know, he's an absolute athlete. He's got power. He can play defense. He can throw. You know, he's an absolute athlete.
Yeah.
Now, he was another steal in that Hunter Pence deal, man, because he was the player to be named later.
Right.
That also, you know, speaking of trades, when the Astros traded Jose Veras for Danry Vasquez, that dude can hit. He's 19-year-old. He hits. That's all he's going to do is hit. He's going to develop some power because he's tall and he's lanky. So he's going to develop some power as he grows, right? But they also got a player to be named later in that draft. Got to keep your eye on that, whoever that's going to be. And it could very well be an injured player right now who's injured. But it's going to be – that's going to be a nice trade for the Astros.
Yeah, because no one, Jeff Luno can really pull anything out of the hat, really. And I'm excited about draft picks because that's more room for Jeff Luna to work his magic and everything. So I think taking a draft pick isn't necessarily a bad thing.
And one thing we haven't discussed is the Bud Norris trade. I know we've talked a little bit about trades and the trade deadline, but a lot of people aren't – I mean, they weren't all that excited with the Bud Norris trade. Some people say, oh, it's a great trade. Some people say it's
a terrible trade. Everybody's got their varying opinion.
Not a terrible trade, but some people think they could do better, you know? And the truth is, LJ Hose is going to be a nice player. He's only hitting 241, but if you remember correctly, he started it off 0 for 9 earlier, because when he first got – he was 0 for 3 with the Orioles, and then he had like 0 for 5 before he got his first hit with the Astros, right?
Right.
But he's starting to hit the ball. He goes the other way a lot. He shows some gap-to-gap power. He's got some nice doubles in him. He can actually throw pretty good from the outfield. He looks like he might have a little bit of an arm. They also got Josh Hader in that trade. Josh Hader is like a young Chris Sale. Tall, lefty, throws – I think he throws mid to high 90s, kind of like Chris Sale. Got a delivery like Chris Sale. Strikes out a lot of people. 19, he's really good, and they also got a draft pick in that draft.
Yeah, the competitive balance draft. Mm-hmm. Or competitive balance pick. Now, going on about Josh Hader, he's in Triple A. He's in Quad Cities right now, and he won his first start, and he's only made one appearance in his first start, and he's doing good. Went 6 innings, and he didn't walk anybody. Gave up only one hit. Mm-hmm. So there's that. You know, that Chris Sale-esque right there.
Yeah, and also, you know, it's going to be overlooked time after time is the Justin Maxwell trade. That was actually a really good trade for the Astros. They picked up the Royals' number 11th prospect. I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure his name is Kyle Smith. Yeah, his name is Kyle Smith. He got roughed up in his first start, but apparently he was getting squeezed, which led to walks and then led to hits. And from what I hear, it was not like that could be a ball or that could be a strike. It was, that's a strike, but he called it a ball. And he's going to be something nice to watch, too. The Astros did really well in this trade deadline. They did really well.
Absolutely. And, you know, it might not have been not spectacular is the word I want to say as last year's, but because there wasn't obviously as many people to trade. But I think this year was really good. And to go elaborate on Maxwell, Maxwell was picked up on waiver wires by the Astros. Mm-hmm.
So like they were hoping to be able to do the same with Lucas Harrell.
Yeah, I was hoping for Lucas Harrell, but he really just fell off the table, and it's really depressing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really, because Lucas Harrell, honestly, my favorite Astro as of, I guess you could say not as of right now, but he's really one of my favorite Astros, if not the top favorite. It's just hard to watch, really, to be honest. It was hard to watch for him to struggle like that.
I was really high on Lucas Harrell coming in, probably too high. You know, I looked at his last year, I was like, dang, you know, he was awesome, right? He's just not near efficient enough, and his bad pitching performances have seemed to have given him a pretty terrible attitude as well. Honestly, I mean, it looks like he doesn't even want to pitch for the Astros when he's out there.
Yeah, it looks like he's kind of given up. It's really – I don't know if he's given up on himself or what it is, but it's really just hard for this guy. I honestly feel for him. Really, really emotional, I guess, you know, just to be honest. And it's there's no words to describe it other than you just feel for the guy.
It's rough, you know. It's rough to watch for him because I was high on him coming into the year. I thought he was going to be awesome. Thought he was going to be the best pitcher the Astros had. Didn't turn out that way by a long shot.
Unfortunately. It's really unfortunate because I'm not going to say there was a lot of I think if there was only any not positivity but hype surrounding him, it was really just by me.
I think a lot of people thought he was going to be better than what he is.
Yeah, because yeah. I was certainly hyped on him, mm-hmm. especially after last year. I was really hyped on him.
So was I. I mean, he was getting ground balls at an extreme rate, you know, just ground ball after ground ball after ground ball. And then all of a sudden, he can't do anything, and he's talking about, well, the new resume wants I think I mispronounced that word.
Regime.
Yeah, the new regime wants their guys. Dude, come on. Let's be real. The new regime doesn't want their guys if you're performing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just – it got ridiculous for him, and it's – still not looking good. I can't remember the last time he pitched. And oh wait, yeah, I can. He started in in Baltimore, and people were like, oh, look, he's pitching well because Carlos Corporon's catching him. And then all of a sudden he gives up three walks in one inning, then gives up, I think, two more walks the next inning, and then a home run by Chris Davis, and the Astros lose that game 6-3, but they were winning 3-0.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. I think it's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I think it's just unfortunate for him.
I don't know what happened to him. I really don't.
We don't know. Maybe this year's a down year. I'm not too sure when his contract – he's arbitration eligible in 2015. So maybe next year he comes better. Maybe next year he's better.
If the Astros have him next year.
That's,
never know.
That's very true. He may just get put on the chopping block.
Mm-hmm. They may just be done with him. Because, honestly, next year is going to be a lot better for the Astros. It really is.
Absolutely.
It's not going to be, by any means, is it going to be, you know, playoff run, 500 even. But it's going to be a lot better than what you're seeing this year. A lot better.
Yeah, it's a process. And I'm really excited about next year.
Mm-hmm.
And to further on to that, maybe Harold Reynolds was meant that Mark Appel would be in the majors by next July. Cause, I mean, it's,
maybe so.
I mean, it's August, and I still see no Mark Appel wearing Houston blue and orange.
Me neither. I still see him wearing Quad Cities red and black.
Yeah. Hopefully he's wearing Corpus Christi white and blue coming up soon, because I'm excited for that. I really am. I hope.
And he's actually done pretty well.
Yeah.
Mark Appel, he's 1-0 with a 2.25 ERA, I think. Something like that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people comparing the Astros. You know, I mean, obviously we're going to be losing, but, you know, those other teams that are losing, they didn't just draft Mark Appel, you know.
They didn't just draft Carlos Correa either.
They didn't just draft those two guys. So, you know, I think that separates the Astros. You know, there was like last place and the 50 feet of crap. I think we're about at the last foot of crap. We're digging through the last foot of crap, and we're almost there. We're almost out of the crap hole, to be honest. And
yeah,
I just because this is a hot topic, what do you think about all the PED suspensions?
Oh my God. Number one, I want PEDs out of baseball as much as the next guy does. I don't think PEDs are good for the game. But I want this crap to be over. Like, all this talk with A-Rod, just hurry up and end it already, please. But, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about a lifetime ban. But,
no, not a lifetime ban. There have been people saying, well, give him a lifetime ban the first time. Well, what if something like what happened to Gio Gonzalez? I think his dad went to the anti-aging clinic once, and that got Gio Gonzalez's name on the list.
Yeah.
He ended up getting scratched because they have no evidence on Gio Gonzalez taking or buying PEDs. If you give him a lifetime ban, guess what? He's out of baseball for the rest of his life for not doing anything. Nothing wrong.
Yeah. And then I'm not too sure who said it, but somebody said they wanted a 5-year suspension for first-time
offenders. Oh, no. That's almost a lifetime ban.
Yeah, because if you're 30 and you get a 5-year ban, that's your career. You're done.
Here's what – they do need to up the penalties. First one, 100 games. Get that out of the way.
Well, it's 50 games.
Not this 50-game bullcrap. Get it out of the way. 100 games, done. Because for people like Nelson Cruz – he accepted his penalty, you know. He was like, okay, I'm going to accept it. I'm not going to fight it. Good for him. But guess what? He's still going to get paid in the offseason because he's still going to be a home run hitter, whether he's on steroids or not. He's a big dude. He can swing a stick. He makes contact. He can drive the ball, right? He's still going to be able to do that next year. He's going to get paid. Guess what? If he got a 100-game suspension for the first-time offense, he would be missing 50 games next year as well. You know, and that's going to drop his price tag if that was to happen. Ryan Braun, he'd be out for the rest of this year, which he is, and some more next year. Should be more because I guess technically this is his second offense. He failed a drug test already, got off on technicality. Turns out he really did fail that drug test.
Yeah. And more importantly, that 100-game ban would carry into the off season or to the postseason for Nelson Cruz. So
and Johnny Peralta
and all those other guys listed there. And I think it's pretty funny that Sergio Escalona took the ban as well.
You know, after reading Kevin Goldstein's story about Sergio Escalona, I feel bad for the guy. Another one that I feel really bad for is Everett Cabrera. Oh, if you watch that interview with him.
I watched the thing in its entirety. It was pretty hard.
It pulls at your heartstring. He's crying, you know. Oh, it's pretty sad.
But then again, I'm not too sure. Was he pressured into doing it?
Honestly, it's crazy. But I think most of these people were pressured into doing it because if you look at it, 13 of the 19 that were on the list all have one thing in common. It has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with the country.
They're all Dominican.
They're all – no, not that, not that. It has nothing to do with their race.
Well, I know that.
Their agent is all employed by Aces. All of them. All employed by Aces. Their agency is Aces.
Really?
And a lot of people are starting to wonder if Aces didn't have something to do with this, meaning, you know, they got pressured into it. Nelson Cruz, he's an Aces client. Johnny Peralta, he's an Aces client. Sergio Escalona, he's an Aces client. Fernando Martinez, he's an Aces client. There's Francisco Cervelli, he's an Aces client. Gio Gonzalez, he's an Aces client. There's tons of them, all Aces clients, all on that list. All got suspensions other than Gio Gonzalez.
So maybe there's another level to this.
Also, you know, the last year, Melky Cabrera, he's an Aces client. He got suspended last year.
Exactly.
A guy that works for Aces built that fake website for him. He built that fake website so that he could try to get out on a technicality. Didn't happen. I guarantee you this is more than just them taking steroids.
This is more than what more than meets the eye.
Yeah, and also one thing that needs to be done, Brad Peacock needs to leave Aces ASAP. He is an Aces client.
Yeah, I think that's high priority given the track record of this.
Nelson Cruz, he accepted his penalty, fired his agent, who was an Aces client.
There you go. That's step one to the process. Maybe Major League Baseball needs to look into that and not just stop it with the players. Because if you truly want PEDs out of baseball, maybe you should go to the next level and go to that. Pursue anything. Pursue emails, phone call records, anything of that sort, and get to the bottom of it.
I'm a firm believer that Aces had a hand in them taking steroids.
You know, and
I really feel like a lot of them were pressured into doing it.
Given that, to be honest, I wouldn't bet my bottom dollar on this, but I wouldn't doubt that they had some kind of hand. And I don't know, could they be liable for it?
They could. Number one, those agents, Aces makes a ton of money off those guys. They all get big contracts at some point in time, and they all get 10, 15, maybe even more of a percentage of that contract in their pockets. That's their money, Aces. I guarantee you they had something to do with this. Oh, I can't say guarantee, but I feel like they had something to do with this. I really do.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised, and I think that's a very interesting point you brought up, Lee. And I think that's where we're going to wrap it up. Lee, is there any closing statements you'd like to make?
Stay with the process, Astros fans. It's going to be a long one, but it's going to work out. It's going to work out, promise you.
Don't abandon anything, because there good times will come. We just have to be patient. Appreciate y'all listening. Of course, follow us on Twitter at YokoRick, at Lee_White73, and at TheStrosBros. Message us with, you know, comments, hate mail, love mail, fan letters, feedback, what you think about PEDs, what you would rather see, and how you feel about this Aces organization. You all have a good one. Take care. Watch baseball, cheer the Astros, and don't cheer for losses. And we will see you guys next time. Appreciate it.
Peace.